Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
You know, the Bulls have a victory, and we're here to talk about it on the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill, and it's our pleasure to have Kelly Krall with us today after a busy weekend at the Cubs convention. You're doing double duty. How are you able to keep all this stuff straight?
Yeah, trying. Keeping watching games and then reading articles and going back and forth and back and forth. No, but staying busy is fun, right? That's what it's all about. And it was perfect timing too, right? Because I got to be around the Cubs convention and kind of get geared up and start thinking about warmer weather as we're watching the snow just come down and pile up on top of us. And then I turn around and see the Bulls pull off their first win of the year. So, well, I should say 2019, right? Yeah. So that's
well,
great.
First win of the year.
I'm feeling good about it.
So Kelly's thinking about her spring training trip to Mesa, Arizona.
Which, mind you, falls during the All-Star break, so I will not be missing any games. I won't do that.
We're hoping to scratch out a few more wins before the All-Star break.
We are, but you know, in this next trip coming up, I think that they have an opportunity, one against Atlanta, to beat them, also against Cleveland. Those are teams that they can beat.
Going for the sweep of the Cavaliers.
Yeah, going for the sweep of the Cavaliers, which they should do. I mean, you know, this team has been decimated by injuries too. You know, and now is the time for them to sort of like hit their, I can't say stride, but sort of hit a stride.
A stride
where they can win games and you know, where they can develop some confidence in one themselves and in Jim Boylan's system. You know, because all NBA teams, they even the bad ones, go on 2-3-game runs. And I think the Bulls are due for one of those.
Yeah, the great thing about our pre- and post-game format is, you know, we kind of wing it, you know, just talk about different
things.
Heavy scripting. So we're talking in pregame, and Kendall says, well, this is a game they should win because Cleveland's only won 9 games. And I'm like, the Bulls only have 10.
Oh, they have
so
10,
they made
right.
him an overwhelming favorite.
It's so funny because I heard that and I laughed about it. And then during the game, I don't know if you heard Stacy bring up the point of, yeah, but look how talented the guys for the Bulls are on the floor versus the Cavs right now. They're so far along, this young talent. Yeah. And you heard Neil kind of come back and be like, but really? And I kind of started laughing about that,
I heard that, yeah.
But my thought was also, you know, this is a game, though, because the Bulls are somewhat healthy. I mean, obviously, they're down Wendell Carter Jr. right now and still Valentine. But, like, you do have to win this, I think, more so from, like, the demoralizing standpoint of what 11 in a row and a loss to a beat-up Cavaliers team would have been. So I get everybody out there fan-wise that's like, no, they need to be losing these games. This was one they needed to win.
And even after all the explaining we try to do on the podcast, on pre and post, people still don't understand.
The 1-2-3.
Having the worst record doesn't help.
It doesn't.
The worst record, the second worst record, the third worst record all have the same odds to win the first pick, 14%. Right. Even if you finish with a fourth worst record, it only drops to 12.6. So it's not like the old days where finishing worst was a benefit in the draft lottery. It doesn't really help you that much, but we digress there. The nice thing was that they beat a team that was beat up, as Kelly mentioned. They had six guys out, the Cavaliers did, and they led from start to finish, and Chris Dunn did a nice job directing the offense.
He did. He had 13 points, 9 assists, and that's the one thing that you want to see him do. If he's not scoring the basketball at a high clip, he's got to be able to get all of his players involved. I felt that he did that. Also, he shot a higher percentage today, 5 of 10, got mid-range, actually knocked down a three-point shot, which is not his forte. But these are the type of games that he's going to have to play in order one, to be back, and two, to, I believe, get an extension for next year.
And Kelly, you are covering all the practices and most of the games, and you've talked to Chris Dunn on a lot of occasions. We talked about this on one of the previous podcasts where he's been a little bit guarded with the media based on some of the things that were written over the summer. Now people are speculating over whether he's going to be offered a contract extension off his rookie deal and if he's the long-term answer at point guard. Do you think that affects Chris on the court in addition to his relationship with the media?
Well, I really think the relationship with the media, I can say there definitely appears to be this chip on the shoulder a bit more so what you were saying, whether it was just what was written in the offseason and now the storyline that becomes, hey, it's an audition for you. And so I can understand where he's coming from in that sense of sort of feeling like, man, what do I got to do to get a positive story out of you guys or to get, you know, be spoken about in a positive way. But I truly think when he steps on the floor, I don't think that's on his mind. I mean, I don't know the part about the audition maybe, but not what's being written or being said. I think he's able to block that out completely. But I do look at what he was able to do today. And again, I mean, the backcourt for the Cavaliers was really, really dreadful. But can that be maintained against better teams? Because we've seen flashes of it. But the West Coast trip was not impressive, really. And I thought this was a really important bounce back game for him. And he showed again what he can do when he's distributing the ball, taking high percentage shots. Can he be that guy all the time? That's what I'm still waiting to see. The consistency has just not been there for him.
And that's what the Bulls are trying to find out.
Yeah.
We need you to be this guy. You know, it's not that hard, you know. So he needs to come in and focus each and every night. Look, maybe I won't score, but I'm going to get everybody involved. That's where I think his first thought needs to be. Then secondly, being able to score. Also, not having those careless turnovers, which he's becoming famous for.
Right.
If he can do that, then I think the Bulls, I think he's the answer for the future. But he's been here now a season and a half, and he's been doing the same things for a season and a half. These next 35 games, will that be enough if he plays this way to convince the Bulls that he's the long-term answer?
How different is it? I'm curious to ask you guys, how different what he's being asked to do for Jim Boylan versus what he was being asked to do for Fred Hoiberg versus what he really fits into in terms of running an offense. Where do you think that plays out for him? Do you get what I'm asking? Like, because I tried to ask him personally, how different is it for you to, like, hold up, set things up in the half court versus running? Yes, right? And again, he'll answer it, but I don't know that I got a – you know, off to the side, he's going to talk to his guys a lot differently than he'll talk to me.
Well, he was a big-time scorer at Providence, and I think that he still sees himself as a scoring point guard, when maybe now, especially with the Jim Boylan offense, they need him to be more of a distributor.
They need him to be more of a distributor. And as a point guard, I don't care what point guard you are, you need to be able to adapt to the coach's system. That's what the great point guards can do. And that's if Chris Dunn wants to be a great point guard, that's what he has to be. Listen, if Jim Boylan needs me to be this, then that's what I have to be. It's an old saying when Bruce Lee used to say, when you become, you have to be like water. Whatever cylinder you're in, that's the form you take. And that's what Chris Dunn has to do. When he realizes that, then I think he'll be able to be successful.
You know, it surprises me, and Kelly's dealing with this with the Cubs as well. All of a sudden now, they're making judgments on guys early in their careers about whether or not they fit long term. And now in baseball, 30 is old.
Yeah.
And Chris Dunn, I think, turns 25 later this season. And they're already talking about how, like, he's old. I mean, it used to be guys got respect into their early 30s. Now it's like if you don't make an impression early on, they're ready to move on to the next guy.
That's because in this day and age, you have AAU basketball. They're actually being scouted. Actually, guys are being projected in high school basketball to be the number one pick in the draft. Now, and you have guys now coming out after their freshman year. You don't have time to develop because
it's
the next
sad,
guy.
Really?
Yeah, it's sad because the next guy is coming.
How polished are you when you're 19?
You're not. Yeah. You're not very polished because I went to see my school, Illinois, play Michigan about a couple weeks ago for my bobblehead night. And
which is so cool, by the way.
Thank you.
You guys
have
probably spoken about that, but I was so excited for you.
I appreciate it.
So proud.
I appreciate it, Kelly. But Michigan was ranked number two in the country. And I sat there and I said, this really is the number two team in the country?
And
these guys suck.
They got whipped in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then they were saying, well, this guy's a pro prospect. This guy's a pro prospect. I was like, these guys aren't very
but
good.
But you're a throwback. You played all 4 years at Illinois.
Yeah, I played all 4 years.
Not many guys, well, no, almost no one does. No and one, if you do, it's you. Considered a detriment rather than
right.
a positive.
Exactly. And back then, if you came out real early, you would be a sophomore, you know. And most guys came out after their junior year. But, you know, the development of the guys now, I don't think is very good, which is a detriment to them when they come in the league. Because now GMs, media, we all expect them, okay, this guy has to do it right now, when he's really not ready to do it right now.
Speaking of guys that were rushed, Zach LaVine didn't even start his one season at UCLA. Mm-hmm. He was turned out to be a lottery pick. Of course, then he has the devastating knee injury in his third year with Minnesota, and he was just starting to emerge as what looked like a future star. And we saw his comments in the media after the Miami game where he said, mm-hmm. listen, something's going wrong. We were playing close games earlier, even though we were losing, but we had a bunch of guys injured. Now most of the guys are back and we're getting blown out. That obviously is frustration talking. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to see in the game against Cleveland, Zach had an efficient 25 points, and hopefully he can hit these last 35 games of the season and finish strong the way he started.
Yeah, I think that was born out of frustration. Zach started off the year great. I think he's actually still had a great year, you know, aside from the
numbers-wise, yeah.
Numbers-wise, aside from the road trip, the last couple of games of the road trip, he didn't really particularly play well. But I think Zach's looking at, okay, now – hitting my stride, I'm having an all-star caliber season. If the Bulls were playing 500 basketball,
right.
He'd probably be an all-star. But now I'm thinking that he's seeing down the line, we can't continue to play like this season after season, and I continue to have seasons like this. I'll never reach my potential. You're talking to a guy that was in his shoes, you know? When I was with New Jersey, when I was with Charlotte, I had all-star type seasons, but my team never won basketball
right.
games. And that's a frustrating thing.
That's how they pick the all-stars
now. Yeah, and that's how they pick the all-stars, whether you win.
And we're talking about the age factor. Zach is still only 23, and this is his fifth season.
Yeah.
And going back to your conversations with players before and after games and practices, you know, for the first 20, 30, even 40 to the 40 game mark, Zach was really positive.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, all right, we're getting guys back. You know, I like the way we're developing, we're trending upwards, and then all of a sudden, he's kind of crashed mentally. Have you noticed the change in him recently?
Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, first and foremost, I appreciate all the guys in that locker room for the most part, as accountable as they are, standing in front of their locker and talking night in and night out, mostly about losses, is not an easy thing to
no.
do. It's not fun. And if anyone's carried the biggest part of that load, it's been Zach LaVine, because all these other guys who have been unhealthy, now he had a little small stint where he was not around, but he's been the guy that's had to answer more questions than any. And the one thing I think, you know, and I think fans can see this, I think Jim Boylan's spoken about it, but Zach does come from a team first, me second mentality. I do believe that. And that frustration from him the other night, listening or reading those quotes and listening to him, my heart kind of sank for him. I felt for him because mm-hmm. he just is so sick of losing mm-hmm. and being like punched in the face, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to lose by a few points, but to be blown out by 30 over and over again. And I think it just boiled over to the point where I give him credit. He's always honest and he's genuine. And sometimes I think maybe he goes a little further than probably the coaches in the front office would want
right,
him to,
yeah.
but he was being honest and I don't blame him, man.
Yeah.
I feel the same way sometimes. I watch this team and I look at how many talented guys they have
yep.
that are young, and I'm like, there's five talented guys that
there's
are
no
meshing
veterans.
Like oil and water.
Right. There's no veterans
on the floor.
And that's really hurt them.
Veterans that can play that they respect. You know, if you have one or two of those, then I think this is a totally different season.
Remember, Zach was losing in Minnesota, too. In the 3 years he was there, they were
yep.
losing teams as well. So he's known nothing
but losing. He mentions
KG
a lot, though, from those years.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and so the veteran existed at least then, and I think yeah. taught him mm-hmm. how to play, you know, or at least how to go about his business. Mm-hmm. And now he's supposed to be the guy teaching that at 23.
Yeah, and people were talking about Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez. Justin Holiday is a journeyman. He's not going to have a big voice in the locker room. And Robin Lopez, I think, is very well-respected, very well-liked
yes.
by his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
But he's quirky. He's different.
He's a different
I don't
bird.
Think he's the kind of guy that's going right. to put an arm around somebody and go, this is the way you should do things. I think he kind of marches to his own beat. And I'm not saying that he's not a good teammate. I just don't know if he's the guy that you talked about that is really going to lift these younger guys up.
And that's why the priority this season, this offseason, needs to be to bring a couple of those guys in because you don't have that right now. And
do any names come to mind when you talk about those? Or
oh, yeah, I got a name. Okay. Mark knows the name.
Yeah.
Mark knows the name. But
we can save that for another time.
No. We're here to talk about it.
Well, look, and I get a lot of flack from this, but I believe that I'm right, and I'm going to stand on it. But I believe that you should really make a run at Derrick Rose. Bring him back. He's having an all-star caliber season. He's a guy that can still play. Also, you heard the comments from John Calipari saying that if Derrick Rose wasn't there, Karl Anthony Towns would have lost his mind during the Jimmy Butler situation. Mm-hmm. Derrick was the one that mentored him through this whole scenario. Now Derrick is 30 years old. He'll be 31 next year. A guy that can, like I said, can still play, that has been through the ringer. You need a guy like that the young guys can go to, and a guy that can still play. Yeah, because that's.
I think the front office will be spooked by the injury history, though. I just don't think that's something that's in the cards.
I know, but that's why you have team options like the one with Jabari.
Right.
You know, so you take a flyer on it. You never know.
Well, you were talking about free agents, and obviously this is an interesting year for free agency because of all the big contracts that were signed when the TV deal came in. Some of those are expiring. Mm-hmm. About half the league is going to be into free agency, either unrestricted or restricted. Mm-hmm. And there are some names beyond the ones that everyone knows that are good players. The guy I'm thinking about is Tobias Harris of the Los Angeles Clippers, who's having a fringe type of all-star season. He's a guy who's young. I think he's 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. He's in his prime right now. He plays the small forward position. I think he'd be a great fit on the Bulls.
And he can really play. You know, everywhere he's been, in Orlando, Milwaukee, Detroit, he's always been a great player that's very productive. Right now with the Los Angeles Clippers, Doc Rivers loves him. But if you have opportunity to get Kawhi Leonard from Toronto, if the Raptors perhaps lose in the playoffs to Boston or something like that happens, then I think that Kawhi is bolting to L.A. Then that makes Tobias Harris expendable.
And there's a lot of players, you know, you move down the list. There's guys like Chris Middleton, productive veterans who might be able to fit in some fashion. But the problem is, because of the Bulls situation, having one of the worst records in the league, with the coaching change and the perception of some dysfunction in the organization, you're going to have to overpay for guys.
What are you okay paying for a Tobias Harris?
And then they have to decide, okay, do you want to extend the rebuild into a third year? And maybe show some progress and try to make a run at Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, he can opt out in 2020, but he might be traded before then.
And then he'll
commit to that organization.
Yeah, if he doesn't commit to New Orleans, he's going to be traded by then. And then you have to look at, do you make your run at him now? Because you look at the assets of the Los Angeles Lakers, who really want him. They have the assets to make the trade to New Orleans to get him. So if you're the Bulls, you better make a sweet package right now.
So that day, May 14th, the draft lottery is going to carry so much weight, not only because of the potential of getting the top pick and maybe adding a Zion Williamson, but if you get the first pick, it also could open up trade scenarios where maybe you could acquire a star player that you couldn't sign outright. So there's going to be a lot of balls in play this summer.
A lot of balls in play. And Kelly, we in the green room with the outsiders, we're going back and forth with scenarios. I love when those guys are in the green room because they really know their basketball and they really know all the different scenarios.
Yeah, John's trading the top pick, John Sabine.
He's going to trade the top pick and Wendell Carter Jr. to New Orleans for Anthony Davis.
That's a pretty good trade from both sides.
Yeah, I mean,
the problem is that Davis, if you didn't know even on a handshake kind of thing that he was going to commit long term, you'd only have him for sure for 1 year.
Yeah, that is scary.
Wendell Carter Jr., who's got 19 and a bright future, and potentially Zion Williamson, that would be a lot to give up. But that's what it would take to get a guy like Anthony Davis.
The OKC Thunder did it with Paul George. Nobody thought that Paul George would stay. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was bolting to L.A.
Russ tells me he knew he was going to stay.
Oh, Russ tells you that? Okay, is that information?
Russ knew he was going to stay. They had to play it up. Yeah, right, sure. They knew KD was staying too, right?
Yeah, so. but if you're Anthony Davis, if I go west, the Golden State Warriors are still going to be strong for the next 3 or 4 years. Will I really be able to contend with that team? Whereas if he comes here to Chicago, you look at Philly, I think that Philly's still not, you know, they're very good, but not a powerhouse yet. If Kawhi Leonard goes to L.A., only team really you have to contend with is the Boston Celtics. And I like the chances. Okay, this is my scenario. Okay, Kelly, tell me how you like this.
Yeah, lay it out
okay.
for me.
I like what John said. Make the trade. As much as I like Wendell Carter, Zion Williamson, if we do are lucky enough to get the number one pick, trade that for Anthony Davis. Sign Tobias Harris. Bring back Derrick Rose. If we have that team.
Look at you.
If we have that team.
Moving and shaking.
Yeah.
If we have that team, then I think that the Boston Celtics are shaking in their boots. I think that we automatically become
Kendall
the power
Gill's going all Daryl Morey on us, the GM of the Rockets.
So
yeah. Willing to trade anybody.
Is Derrick your starting point guard then?
Absolutely. I mean, Derrick Rose is a better point guard than we have right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's my starting point guard. With Tobias Harris at the 3, Zach LaVine at the 2. Anthony Davis at center and Lauri Markkanen as your 4.
I think the fans would be pretty excited about that.
That is something else right there.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him setting up in the half court, though.
No.
No, we don't. We don't have to with that team. With that team,
surely, right? Jim will adjust with that group and want to run and get out and go.
Well, you have to. You have to with that group.
Right?
And when you have a talent like Anthony Davis, you got to spread the floor. I mean, he's a guy that can bring the basketball.
Yeah, that spaces the floor like crazy.
You guys are already figuring out what we're going to do when we have Anthony.
Yep, we're done.
Yeah,
it's really nice. Close it up now. Close it up.
We got the Celtics and Lakers loaded with young players trying to get him, and you've already penciled him into the lineup. So I appreciate that optimism. Let's draw it back to the present day. 3-game homestand coming up. Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks in on Wednesday. We'll see Tobias Harris and the Clippers on Friday, and then a rematch with the Cavaliers on Sunday. So 35 games left. Obviously, Wendell Carter Jr. is probably not going to play again this season. He had surgery for his thumb. Obviously, was successful. Still going to be out 8 to 12 weeks. We're not expecting him to see him until next season. But short term, what are you hoping to see from the Bulls in this homestand?
I'm just hoping to see them win, not go on huge losing streaks, not be blown out, be competitive. I think that they're in a position to do that right now. And I want to see how Chris Dunn finishes up, because he knows everything is on the line for him these last 35 games.
Kelly's just trying to figure out how she can get to all these games.
Weave back and forth.
Yeah.
No, I'm with Kendall. I want to see them be competitive, and I don't want to see that 3-to-3-minute span, really, is all it's been, where all of a sudden I'm watching the game and it's within 4 points, and then I turn away for like 2 seconds to make myself dinner and it's 18 points.
Right.
I don't want that span anymore. I just think that is, and I don't know if it's as much as it is just being overpowered by another team that's better, or a lack of mentally staying focused. I think sometimes this team struggles with that still, the punch in the mouth that then they don't know how to react, and then you just see it fall apart for 3 minutes, and that's all it takes for good teams to go on the 18-0 run, right? And so I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see them figure out how to, push through those tough times, which has been a theme throughout this entire season. And ideally, I would like Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen to be able to come off the floor feeling good about something so that we don't have to have these conversations in the locker room where they look so demoralized.
It was early in the season, as Zach mentioned, even when they were losing, they were competitive in almost every game.
Yeah.
They had a lot of close losses, especially at home. Mm-hmm. And I think even for the fan base, you can kind of live with that, because you see growth in your young players. And you know that, we're going to get a good draft pick, and things are moving in the right direction.
Right, you see the potential. And we saw that earlier in the season. That's why we were so excited about, they were losing close games, but we thought that the cavalry was coming when everybody else got healthy. But that – it did happen, but, the result wasn't what we expected. And Fred Hoiberg, of course, the coaching change. So, this has been a crazy year. This has been one of the craziest years I've ever seen an NBA team go through.
Well, I was excited to jump on board.
And we're not going to blame you. At the shift to Kendall's analogy, I guess the light at the end of the tunnel was an oncoming freight train. Coming right at this.
About right.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, hopefully the end of the season will bring some wins and some sanity for Zach and all the rest of the players, that they can feel like they're building towards something special in the future. Hopefully good things ahead. May 14th, the draft lottery, get that number one pick. It'll open up all kinds of possibilities.
That's right.
And then the Bulls have a lot of cap space to go into free agency. We'll hope for the best short term and look forward to what may lie ahead coming up this summer. Kelly's also making her travel reservations for Arizona, so she's got a backup plan.
Texas opening weekend. But I will say, you know, it's interesting. That's what I love about Chicago and sports fans is even at the Cubs convention, how many people have recognized I've picked up doing the Bulls as well and have come up and wanted to talk to me about the Bulls. And they're so hungry for this team to figure it out. And I did. It's interesting what you said, Kendall, about the direction is I did hear a few people be like, I still don't think I know the direction. I still don't see it. And I'm like, the problem is there is talent. There is talent. They just haven't put it all together yet. But I think they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I do.
So fans, I think, are just still trying to figure out if they're seeing enough of that, you know. But it was interesting. I think they're they're all on the Zion Williamson bandwagon, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the truth.
He's your favorite player in Chicago, Zion Williamson. And if he gets drafted, you know, is he wearing number one in Duke?
Yeah, he wears number one.
I don't think he can wear that in Chicago.
No, he can't wear it in Chicago.
Because Derrick Rose will be back under
this
scenario.
He'll be back.
So he's going to have to get a new uniform.
And Zion may not even be here if we can get Anthony Davis.
All right, so we got Anthony Davis. We figured out uniform numbers.
Great. Right. Next podcast.
And it's only mid-January. So we got lots left of the season to go. We're heading towards the trade deadline, February 7th, the All-Star game afterwards. So we'll keep you updated on everything's going on here on the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. For Kelly, for Kendall, we thank you so much for listening. We'll be talking again real soon.